Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you in advance of the word that you put on Cheryl's heart. I really pray that you'll bless her now as she brings her your word. And Father, I just pray you'll open our hearts to receive what you have for us within all this. And I pray, Lord, that we will leave this place changed in some way. Some perhaps are thinking, perhaps the way we perceive things, Lord, or perhaps a direct word that you have for us into action. So I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I've got one. So who here today knows what I mean when I say Sunday morning battle? Yeah, Sunday morning battle. Do you know, it took me till 10 past 11 when I was still trying to do a good job of being a mother and get over here that I suddenly realised, oh, I'm talking about victory today. Maybe that's part of it. But actually, Sunday mornings, golly, I'm sometimes like, what is it? Oh, sorry, is it because I'm walking around? There's something about Sunday mornings. I remember my mum saying it, actually. She was like, oh, Sunday mornings. And it is a battle on a Sunday morning. I think, life is a battle. But there's something about getting out on a Sunday morning, especially when you've got three naughty boys, I think. They all take after their father. None of them have got any of me in them. So it's just hard to get them out the door. Anyway, here we are, undefeated. And that's what I want to talk about today, living an undefeated life, not giving up, living in victory, the victory that Jesus died for us to have. Do I sound like a Dalek? Am I a Dalek? Do I look like a Dalek? Do I? What is it? Say it again. Demanding and commanding. Demanding and commanding. Okay, now, so I want to talk today about victory. And God has been talking to me since actually December, when me and Mark went on holiday in Egypt, about lions. That might sound a bit weird to you. I can't keep still, I'm really sorry. But I had a wonderful confirmation today. Where's Liddy? Please stand up and show everyone your shirt. Please, Liddy. Look at that! I just love it. You see, I've got one and I thought, I'm so glad that she's worn it, because that to me was just like, you can sit down now, thank you. I just love it. They were selling them at the colour conference, and they're just amazing. So I'm rich. For me, that's just like, yes, the lion. So yes, God has been speaking to me about lions. This started when Mark and I were on holiday, just the two of us, a really special time that was a real gift from God to us. It literally was a gift from God. Some of you might remember that we actually went to Egypt for a week in a 5-star hotel, all inclusive, for £2 each. No catches. So yeah, there you go. It's amazing. So anyway, £2 each, that's what it cost us. God really used that time in lots of different ways. But one of the things that happened was that I fell in love with this painting. We were in the hotel and I saw this painting. I was like, oh, look at the lion. Anyway, Mark, have any of you read the Love Languages book? Yes. Okay. If you haven't and you're in a relationship, please read that book. It is brilliant, about each other's love languages. My love language isn't gifts. Mine is actually words and touch, not gifts. Mark will buy me anything, actually. I can say, Mark doesn't come home and give me flowers or give me this and that. I don't get any of that. Birthdays, I don't get great big presents because I don't want it, because I know that I can ask him anything and he'll let me have it anyway, so which is great. So I don't mind. I don't feel like I'm losing out by not having the big bunches of flowers. I know we're all different, but that to me is okay. I'd rather he just let me get what I want when I want, and this was one of those things. With limits, obviously, with limits. £2 holiday to Egypt, that's okay, I can have that. But anyway, this painting I came back with, and I just love it. And I think since that time, I've just had a real fascination about lions. I've found out about lions. I've done some research on lions. I've been trying to impress my sons about the facts that I know about lions. You lot probably know loads about lions. I'm very ignorant, actually, about nature and stuff like that. It was the same when I found out about trees. I have a brother who knows all about trees. I had to find out about this stuff. I didn't know. So lions, you probably know all the facts. I was trying to impress Sammy in particular. Everything I told him, I was like, Sammy, did you know this about lions? And he was going, yes, Mum. So, but did you know this? Yes, Mum. So anyway, I was impressed. I loved what I learned about lions. And also in scriptures, there's over 50 references to lion lines in the Bible. You'd be really pleased to know that I'm not going to go through all those scriptures today. You'd be very relieved to know. But obviously, you know, the ones that stick out, like Daniel in the lion's den or the devil prowling like a lion and all those sort of things. But overall, what came across to me, that what hit me, is that thing of the Lion of Judah. You know, overall, all the fierceness, everything that goes on in the Bible, everything that's spoken about lions, is that Jesus is the powerful lion, isn't he, that rules over all. So the devil might prowl like a lion, but Jesus is the conqueror. In Jesus, we're undefeated. In Jesus, we have victory. So I've been very excited about these lions. But today, I want to focus on two particular aspects of lions in terms of using them as an analogy. First of all, I want to look at lions, how lions relate to each other, how God doesn't want us to battle alone in this life, and what we can learn from lions, from how they interact, from how they do life together. So that's the first thing I want to look at. And secondly, I want to look at Jesus being the Lion of Judah. First of all, the fact that God didn't create us to be in relationship alone, to not battle alone in this life. You know, we're designed for relationship, aren't we? And we know that right from the Genesis account, that God created Eve because it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. He didn't want him to do it all by himself. And he created them equal, different, but equal. So together, they were a great team. Adam and Eve in lion form, I believe. But his plan for healthy relationships was that there would be an interdependence, isn't there? Interdependence, that's what he wanted, a oneness. So there'd be a healthy desire for each other. Not codependency, where one person is trying to draw something for another one, get their needs that can only actually be met from met in God, get those needs met from the other person. That's codependency. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want independence, where we go off on our own way. And maybe if we're in a relationship, we live in the same house, but we have total independence. We don't have anything going on. No, he wants us to have a mutual dependence. He wants us to have interdependence. That's how he designed it. That's what went back to the Garden of Eden. And on Mother's Day, I talked a bit, because I was in the middle of this lion stuff that I was getting excited about. I talked about the lioness a little bit and what a wonderful example she is to us women. Of how God wants us to be as women, that it's okay not to be. Sometimes we can try to be, I know I've tried to do it and failed miserably, trying to be that sort of woman that keeps quiet, no comments, Mark, and is just like timid and, I don't know, doesn't really, just waits for the man to tell her what to do and subservient and like this. No, the lion's fierce. The lioness goes out and hunts, you know. She protects her babies. She's, you know, I love what we can learn from the lioness. Love it. So that's where I kind of started in this. And she has an interdependent relationship with her man, this lioness. Now, so in my research, I've looked a little bit more at the lion, at the male lion. Now, I have to say there's a few things that I'm not too keen on that I've discovered, but I'll put them out there first. I've discovered that male lions are actually the laziest of all creatures. They sleep up to 20 hours a day. Did you know that? Did you know that they only get up, this is where Sammy just goes, yes, Mom. They only get up to eat or mate. Now, the other thing I found out, is that we've already established female lions do most of the hunting. Yeah, they do most of the hunting, the females, but I found out something else. I was just like, what is going on here, God? When she gets back, after all her hard work hunting, he gets the first share. What is that about? He gets fed first. He doesn't get the leftovers. He gets the lion's share. I should have known all this, shouldn't I? The other thing is, they've got about five women on the go. They have like five wives, these lions. Now, what is going on there? Where is the loyalty in that? There's things we don't want to learn from these lions. I want to pick like these out first. But I did think it's actually a good job that the lioness is so secure in her identity. She's not dependent on him. So when he's off with wife number two, she's actually, yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'll still, you know, I'm still here. So anyway, that's the things I don't like. There's no perfect analogy, I realise that. But there are some good things about this lovely lion. He's loving. Lions are so loving. And they often spend this time apparently rubbing heads together and lazing about and play fighting. which I think's, yeah, tactile. Now, being my love language, one of them being touch, obviously this very impresses me. I like all this sort of head thing. I don't want to do that, really. But anyway. Another thing is, here's some more of them. Now, the licking thing, I don't want that going on either, thanks. But that tongue, I was amazed to discover that tongue that he's licking so lovingly, his bird there, his wife, whatever you want to call her, that can rip the flesh off bones, that tongue. I didn't know this. You probably all knew this. See, I'm just talking to myself here. But it can rip flesh off bones. That tongue is so powerful. And yet, he's so affectionate. He's got these super soft paws that he's like cuddling her with. But underneath them, obviously, are these claws that can kill his prey. And he uses this play fighting to kind of practice his battle skills so that he can go out and protect his family. So I reckon that this lion and lioness are a pretty good picture of interdependence, of how God, other than the bad things that I've pointed out, meant us to be dependent on each other. The males guard the territory and the calves maintain boundaries. They maintain those boundaries by roaring, by chasing off intruders, and by marking it with urine, which I think is really nice. They mark their boundaries with urine. Now, it did remind me of how I remember saying to Mark before we moved, cats kept coming into our garden. They still do, actually. I'm really sorry for all you cat lovers, but I was sick of cat poo in the garden. So I was like, how can we? So I did some research on the internet to get rid of cat poo. Cats in the garden. Lion poo was the answer, apparently. Buy lion poo and put it around your garden. But it's really expensive. So anyway, part of the male lion thing is that they put this thing round the boundaries. So the females are the primary hunters. They're more agile, but they're slower than the males. So they use, I think this is really interesting, the males, when they hunt, they like to hunt solitary. You males might relate to this. They're like going off on their own, doing their own thing. The women go together. All the lionesses go out together. And I loved this when I heard this, because what they do is when they get to their prey, they form as a pack, and the weaker lionesses get the prey where they want it to be, and the stronger ones, so they sort of herd it into the middle, and the stronger ones go around the edge, and they're the ones that bring the animal down and make the kill. And I thought, isn't that a lovely picture of how to stand against things together? You know, and women do have that together thing going on. I know there's this joke about women going to the toilet, and we're not all like that, I'd like to point out. Don't generalise about this, but there is this thing that women tend more to do things together than men, so I'm told, like doing things more on their own. But I love that they'll stand together, and I think that really says something about this warrior women sort of thing, standing together, claiming victory together, being interdependent. God meant us to be interwoven with each other, our lives to interweave with each other's. Last weekend, Mark and I went away. We went away to do a training weekend. Neil Anderson, for those of you who have heard of him, he wrote a course. It's called Freedom from Christ in Marriage, and it's a brilliant marriage course. We went on with, you know, the possibility of one day maybe running it in Junction if anyone wants to do it. So we went to do it first to learn how to do it, how to run it. And we had a bit, even like this morning, I'm a bit not that aware of if there is a battle. And I'm not one of these people that sort of says, oh, that's the enemy, that's Satan again, look what he's done. I don't do that. But I sensed last weekend that something was going on where it's just like, I don't think the enemy really wants us to go to this weekend. Things kept happening. The last straw was the day before we went, Ben got chicken pox. But there was a lot of build-up to that, where everything was becoming very difficult. Anyway, we did go, and it was an amazing weekend, and I learned so much from that weekend, both personally and just how God works, how God uses relationships, what his intentions are, all sorts of things that I learned. And I think it brought, well, I don't think, I know it brought an even more closeness between me and Mark. And I realised something when we were on that weekend. I realised that Mark's my lion. And I like that, you know. But there was times. But there was some times where I thought, golly, you know, I felt very protected. And it was a new thing for me. A new thing. Because actually, you know, we've been together a long, long time. But for years, because of my insecurity, because of how troubled, how broken I was from the past, I was very insecure, and I felt like I needed to compete with Mark. I had to have my territory. I didn't want him to see me as being vulnerable, having any sort of weakness, so I put up quite a cold front. I was quite detached, and I hid that kind of tenderness, I suppose, that tender part of myself from him, because I needed to protect myself. I couldn't look to him to be my protector. And you know what? The enemy loves that. The enemy loves using that battle we have between each other in relationships. He loves it. You know, the consequence of the fall, as we read in Genesis, the woman's desire would be for the man, but he will rule over her. And since then, you know, hasn't there been this battle of the sexes? You know, I've talked a bit about it before, but both within the church and outside of it, there's, it's such a sadness how this, you know, this relationship that God meant for us to have has gone wrong, you know, because God didn't want us ever to compete with each other, as I was trying to compete with Mark. He wanted us to complete each other. That's what it's about. And there's such an extremeness now, I think, within this world. If, you know, the worldly way is often this thing of women, again, I am generalizing, but women doing this thing of, I don't need a man, I'll make it on my own, and off I go, and, you know, that sort of thing. Then within the church, you can get this pressure of like, oh, I'm submitting to my man, and, you know, and then you get the risk of lots of control and domination and manipulation. So it's one extreme or the other. There is no balance. I loved hearing Lisa Bevere say that God gave Adam and Eve dominion over everything apart from each other. That, to me, says it all. That is a beautiful picture of interdependence, how God meant it to be. And this, the way the enemy has twisted the relationship between a man and a woman has been so destructive, I think. And I know it was, for me personally, incredibly destructive. And secretly, through all the years when I was struggling to overcome painful stuff, walk through painful stuff, I secretly harbored this longing to crawl into Mark's arms. You know, I did. I just wanted to say, I'm scared, you know, protect me, help me. And I'd even married a bodyguard. He was a bodyguard when I married him. But I couldn't let myself do that because I saw it as a weakness. Yeah, now he's going to become a vicar. What is going on? My bodyguard's becoming a vicar. Lord, help me. From a uniform to a dress. Anyway, I'm not dealing with that yet. I've got far too many other problems to deal with before. I'm in denial about that one. It's fine. He's not becoming a vicar. He's my beefy policeman. My lion. This is why I'm preaching about lions, isn't it? Be my lion. Anyway, the point is, through all that, while I was in this, keeping my walls up, keeping myself protected, not going near this man, he still stood with me. He still was there. He still didn't leave me. He didn't give up on me. Almost, I think, but for the strength of God. But he didn't. He stood there with me. And I'm so glad that I made the decision eventually to give him my whole heart, to take that risk. My dad used to say, he might have said it to you, some of you here, he used to say when people were questioning God, you know, maybe an alpha and stuff like that. Well, is there a God? Is there not a God? He'd say, don't wrestle, just nestle. You know, and I get that now in my relationship with Mark. Just nestle. And it's so lovely. And I realise now that we're so stronger against the enemy when we unite, you know. And we both knew in all our battles, and golly, did we have strong battles, that what we had in common was that we weren't going to accept defeat. We're going to hang on in there because God would make a way, and did make a way. Now, I want to recognise and say that I realise that not everyone here has a relationship, and please don't think I'm standing here saying, boasting about, oh, I've got this wonderful lion and I've got a really good relationship. I'm saying this because I want to give God the glory because of how he restores, how he redeems, how he's taken us from a really dark place and put us in a really good place. So I'm honouring God in this. I'm boasting about my God, not about my relationship. So I want to get that straight. And I also want to say that we're a family, you know, and I know there are people that are on their own. This is where we look to each other. You know, if you're not in a relationship, it doesn't mean you haven't got anybody. Lions are the only cats that form social groups. All other species apparently are solitary hunters. So they you know, again, I think we can learn from that. It's something, an area I think we can really grow in, about walking alongside each other. And do you know what? There's people in here that are so good at walking alongside each other. So good. You see it happening. You know, people that naturally will walk alongside someone who's struggling. We all have struggle at different times and in different ways, don't we? But we need to unite as a pride, walk together. And we see it in the Bible, don't we? People, you know, Ruth and Naomi, you know, walking together through that time, clinging to each other. We can learn so much about that interdependency that we see woven through Scripture, being faithful to each other, because love does conquer all. I know it's cheesy, but it's so true. It does. But in order to live undefeated, we do need to face the obstacles. We do need to be willing to be transparent and vulnerable. You know, as me and Mark had to last weekend, you know, that transparency, I've had to do it in my own journey. I had to do it again kind of with Mark, you know. It's been a gradual thing, but there comes a point you have to just be transparent. Brennan Manning says, it is better to live naked in truth than clothed in fantasy. I think there's such truth in those words. I heard someone saying just yesterday, I was on a course yesterday, and I've changed one of the words in it so that it's not rude. but you're going to know what it is now I say it. But he said that it's easier to lie in a bath of warm poo than a bath of cold, fresh water. I thought, that's inspirational. He said it and I just went, oh, that's so true. I had a picture immediately in my head, but there's something about that warmth. Well, why would you want to get up and get in cold water? Even though that's what's going to do you good. Wash off all that rubbish, you know. Get in the cold water because it's worth it. But it's easier to stay in the warm poo, isn't it? We need to be brave. Be brave. It's a picture. Come on. But we need to be brave, don't we? Get up, get in the cold water. You know, that... I just, in this room, I think of people in this room, and I was thinking of particular individuals, even when I was praying and thinking about this. There's people in this room who have been through such battles, are going through such battles right at this very moment, to different degrees, in different ways, but they're hanging on in there, because there will be victory, because we need to know that there is a hope, there is a certainty in knowing God. That the rest of the world don't have. But the battles can be won. It's having that lion mentality, I think, of like, yes, I'm going to hang on in there. But not alone, you know, within a pride. There's one particular time, actually, last weekend, where I really wanted to bolt. It's funny how we can easily slip back into our coping mechanisms. And I was literally at the door, ready to go. It's like, and in fact, at one point, I said to Mark, I've got to go now. You know, but you have to hang on in there, don't you? We will have victory if we carry on drinking, as it says in Jeremiah, from our own leaky cisterns. It's not going to do us any good. We'll just go, you know, we need victory from darkness. On Thursday, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but Mark preached at his mum's funeral, and he did a eulogy, and he preached, like a lion, I tell you. And I was proud to be there as his lioness. He laid aside his pain, his grief, his own personal stuff, because he knew what he had to do for that moment was to let the people in that church know, most of them who weren't Christians, who didn't have faith, people in his family, that there is a hope, that there is a God. And he preached a gospel message, you know, with a broken heart. And what's important to know here is that he wasn't going up there. I think this is really important to know in the church, is that living in victory doesn't mean denying your feelings, doesn't mean denying your pain, doesn't mean denying your anger that you've lost somebody. That's not what this is about. Mark wasn't saying this. He wasn't saying, oh, it's okay, Mum's in heaven, everything's fine. No, he laid it aside for that moment to do what he needed to do to fulfill his purpose for that moment, which was to let, because he knows time is short, and he wanted those people to know that she's in heaven, that there is a hope, that there is a God who can save them. And he preached that message. He preached that message, and I was so proud of him, you know, that he put that aside. That isn't denial. It's really important to know that, because I think sometimes it's the same with forgiveness. People who don't know God, can look at us as Christians and think, well, you're just, oh, is this forgiveness thing? You're just saying it's all right then. It's all right that I've been abused by this many men. That's okay then. I've just got to forgive. No, that's not what it's like. It's about letting yourself out of the hook. It is off the hook. It is a process. It is hard. Grief is hard. And Jesus weeps with us. But you know what? Jesus, when my man was preaching that sermon, Jesus was saying, that's my boy. That's my boy. Doesn't mean he's not in pain, but it means that he's talking about the kingdom of God and he's bringing it into a broken, dark, hopeless world. That's having a lion heart. That's victory over the darkness. That's what it's about. I was so proud that day. I'll tell you what, I would have gone hunting for him. It might only have been to KFC, but I would have gone hunting. But isn't that what we need? We need to encourage each other. We need to be aware of people who don't have someone encouraging them, you know, who are alone, who are trying to battle through life and they're so lonely. And this is an area we all need to grow in. Some people are better. I look at some people and I think, golly, you are so aware of other people's needs, other people's pain. Do you remember that part in Braveheart? Who can do a Scottish accent? Can you do it? Where he says, they may take our lives, but they cannot take our freedom. And I think that that's what we need to shout at the enemy in the face of our pain, you know, in the face of grief, in the face of terrible things that have happened, you know. You may take our lives. You will not take our freedom. This is temporary. The stuff that we go through in this life is temporary. Victory has been won. And that's exciting. Queen Victoria once said, we are not interested in the possibilities of defeat. Aren't they great words? We need to be like this. Not interested in the possibilities of defeat. There's some verses in Isaiah. They're written on the headstone of my brother's grave. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. Isn't that a beautiful picture of unity? You know, of how it will be. I love that. I want to show you a golly, I keep going off on one of my times going. I just want to show you a clip from a documentary called Undefeated, which shows what happens when we stand together against adversity. And I better move on to my second bit, am I quick?
Let's see here. Starting right guard shot, no longer in school. Starting wheel linebacker shot, no longer in school. Two players fighting right in front of the coach. Starting center arrested. Most coaches, that would be pretty much a career's worth of crap to deal with. I think that sums up the last 2 weeks for me.
For almost 14 years, we never won a football game.
Oh, my God in heaven.
Chavis has serious anger issues.
Stop. You go over there, Mike.
Montrell is dealing with the death of his father.
When he died, I knew I was on my own.
Number 77, O.C. Brown.
O.C.'s grades weren't up like they're supposed to be.
He's going to lose an opportunity to go do something with his life.
I want them to rise above the inner city knock.
Man open, and he dropped it. And that's just about to fall to 0-1.
Anybody can be a champ. It takes a man to stand up when this thing hits you in the mouth because it hurts.
Everybody says when you get these inner city kids down, they'll lay over and you'll beat them by 40. Not us.
You got to believe in yourselves, fellas.
Four of those guys have taken some beating here.
There's a Manassas player down.
God, I hope we didn't just lose him.
Two things mean most anything to him in the world is his father and football. And we got to make sure we're there for him.
Money, whatever you're going through, I promise it'll get better.
This is an unbelievably good opportunity. You're down 20-0. You come back from that, now you're talking about something.
1:03 to go. Season comes to a close for somebody here tonight.
You think football builds character. It does not.
He's going to throw it. He pulls the trigger.
Football reveals character.
It's just a real picture, isn't it, of the fact that we all face adversity in different ways. We all have different things that we go through in life, but united, we can make a difference. We can have victory. We can live victorious lives if we join together with each other and with God. I'm really conscious of the time and of having communion. I've gone off on one. I'm looking at you because I'm only halfway through. Do you want me to see the rest another time? I went off on one again. Sorry, I'm just really. I don't want to start because it's a whole other section about Jesus as the lion. I don't know. Shall I? Well, I'm conscious of the time. Unless you want me to do it quickly. What shall I do? Oh, someone tell me what to do. Do it next week. Oh! Well, it depends how carried away I get. I don't know what to do. Okay, shall I do part two next week? Okay. Huh? Okay. I'm sorry that I just got a bit excited. But. Thanks. Can I pray then? Can I pray and then I'll do part two next week? I'm really sorry that I went off on one and didn't finish. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me pray. God, I want to thank you so much that, gosh, you just do so much in our lives, that you do such a deep work within us if we allow you to, that we can live lives of victory, that we can overcome anything in your strength because you are our lion. Thank you, God, that you put truth within us, that it's there for us to access, that we just need to recognize it and use it, God. You died so that we could have victory, victory over anything, victory so that whatever we face in life, however hard it is, however difficult it is, God, that we can face it with you and with each other. You called us to be united, God. Thank you for this church. God, please use us, develop us, grow us so that we can learn from these lions that draw together as a prize, that go into the battle united, protecting the ones who are feeling vulnerable at the time, who need building up, who are feeling weak. God, as we grow in strength, let us put on that armor that maybe others are struggling to put on and protect them. Let us be a mighty force in this place. God, let us, this junction, be a mighty force within this community. Use us in this broken world, I pray, to make a difference, to give hope where there is none, just as my man did on Thursday, where there is such a sense of this is it, this is the end. No, there's not. There is hope in you, God. Thank you for that certainty that comes from knowing you. And I pray, God, for each person in this room today, that they'll recognize that lion spirit within them, even if they don't know it's there. I pray it would grow within them where they realize they can live undefeated lives, where they will begin to take risks of trusting other people with their pain, of being transparent, of saying, oh, I'm struggling here. Can you please come alongside me? Stand beside me in this time because I need some help here. I can't struggle alone. God, just as I had to realize in those years and years of trying to do it alone, trying to do it without help, God, we've got you, but we've also got each other. And I've said before, we sometimes need someone with skin on, someone that we can cling to in a physical and emotional sense of saying, please just hold me up here. Help me out. Grow that within each one of us, God, so that we can become a church of unity, a church of lions and lionesses, all developing our own gifts, our own roles within this place, but knowing that each one of us is significant, is important. Help us, Lord, grow in our security that can only come from you, our self-worth that can only come from you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Amen.